Monday is my study day when I usually write the sermon and do the order of service and try and put everything together. Who knew that just a few days later there would be war breaking out even more so in the Middle East? And the passage that I've chosen to preach on this morning is on Romans chapter 2. But I also chose Isaiah chapter 6, which is very poignant and relevant to the situation in the Middle East. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him was seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among the people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away from you and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am. Send me." He said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the hearts of this people calloused. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." Then I said, "For how long, O Lord?" And he answered, "Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left destroyed and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away, and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will be again laid waste. But the terebinth and the oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." That last verse is a picture of the Messiah coming, Jesus, who will be the seed from the stump of Jesse. And so even in the midst of all the difficulty and hardship and horror, God says, "I have not forgotten you."
So the second reading is from Romans chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. God's righteous judgment. "You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them, and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads towards repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honour and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. but glory, honour, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favouritism. All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law, since they show that requirement, that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. This will take place on the day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares.
One of the phrases I heard lots when I was a kid was, wait till your father gets home. I don't know if any of you, probably just me. But wait till your father gets home. And the judgment that father was going to bring with him, the anticipation was always worse than the actual judgment itself. But with God, the opposite is true. God has said that he's bringing judgment, and the world says, so what? We don't care. We don't care. Romans 2 verse 5 says, because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. And I simply have a question for you. What's the biggest danger facing mankind today? Banking meltdown, computer hacking, AI, nuclear war, chemical warfare, biological weapons, genetic mismanagement, destruction of the environment, coronavirus, Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin, Benjamin Netanyahu. The Bible says none of these. The Bible says that the biggest danger to mankind is and always has been the judgment of God. Matthew 10 verse 28 says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Hebrews 10 verses 30 to 31. For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. These things are true, and yet we ignore them and we pace over them. And sometimes we look to them in scripture and we quickly pass on to the good bits instead of remembering the wrath of God. And the first thing I want to say is that God's judgment will happen. God is a God of love, but also a God of wrath. And we don't like the wrath bit very much, do we? Preaching on it and teaching on it is very hard. There's not many laughs in the preaching of the wrath of God. And some of us might try to deny it, but the Bible is clear, it will happen. Just as man is destined to die once and after that face judgment, it is a certainty. God the Father is our creator. He has given us life and free will. We will be judged on how we use it. It is inevitable. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 32 says, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, let us eat, drink, and for tomorrow we die. There is life after death, and after that is judgment. That much is true. And then God's judgment is according to his timing. According to his timing. You know, as a child, you can skive off school. I'm sure you never did, but I did. And thought that you got away with it until exam time. Oops. And then you realise you've missed the important lessons. People today don't yet see evidence of God's judgment, so they think that they've got away with it. Murderers go unpunished. Robbers and thieves avoid capture. Dictators stay in power. Bankers steal and prosper. If God is doing anything now, if God is not doing anything now, he never will, is what people are saying. And the Bible describes that as storing up punishment. Like a mortgage. When you put down your mortgage and you pay every month, you pay eventually to own your own house. Well, God says that we who do not obey God's way, will and God's way, those who do not follow in his way, are storing up a mortgage of wrath. God does not dispense his judgment immediately, but on that last day. John 12, verse 48, there is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words, and for that very word which I spoke will condemn him on the last day. Our impatience will not affect God's timing. His judgment is coming. And for those who declare war and kill the innocents, they will one day have to say why they didn't listen to God. God's judgment is also fair and just. It is a righteous judgment. People will not be judged by what they don't know, but what they do, what they do with what they know. Let me say that again because it was messed up. People who will not be judged by what they don't know, but by what they do with what they do know. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Now, I got caught speeding in Leeds about 5 years ago. I had no excuse. I was caught on camera. And so I couldn't go back and say, well, it wasn't my fault, it was somebody else. I couldn't say, it's not my fault, I didn't know that the speed limit, what the speed limit was. Instead, I had to go to naughty boys' school and learn about how not to speed. Those who have never seen a Bible still know why right from wrong. Romans 1 spells it out. It's worth reading if you get the chance this week of Romans 1, because it says that even those who have not heard of Jesus have no excuse, because the nature spells out the very glory of God. We know the difference between good and bad. Our conscience tells us. In fact, we will be judged by the standards we create for ourselves. God is just, we are not. That's why we should never try and do the Father's job for him. It's not our job to judge. We don't have the ability or the righteousness. Our job is to warn what is coming and to preempt judgment. Going back to roadworks again. If you come across a roadworks and you see a person holding one of those lollipops saying stop and go, you make your choice whether you go or stop. And if it says stop and you go, you're going to end up in trouble, probably hitting a car coming the other way. That person is there for a reason, not to be ignored. Well, so are we here to say to the world, be careful. Because it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And then Christ's judgment, God's judgment, is for Christians too. We who are Christians will also be judged by what we do and what we do with the life that we have. Matthew 16 verse 27 says, "For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done." Now, I'm not a DIY genius. I'm inspired by and I appreciate those who are good at DIY. There's me, who is a bit of a botch man, and my brother, who is a perfectionist. My brother is a perfectionist and does a lot of DIY. And he will take attention to the stuff that is seen and unseen. Me, I cover it over with paint and polyfiller. Sometimes we try to cover up our failings and our fallings. And God says, I see through it. I see what's behind the scenes. I see what is unseen. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, these words are very important. If any man builds his foundation using gold, silver, and costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring to light it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. And if he is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. The J.B. Phillips version of the Bible says, with the smell of burning, that some of us will come through judgment, but only with the smell of burning, because we haven't built with the costly stuff. The Message puts it this way. I love this version of the scripture. It says, take particular care in picking out your building materials. Eventually, there's going to be an inspection. If you choose cheap or inferior materials, you'll be found out. The inspection will be thorough and rigorous. You won't get by with a thing. If your work passes inspection, fine. If it doesn't, your part of the building will be torn out and started over. But you won't be torn out. You'll survive, but just barely. We will be judged by the materials by which we have built our lives upon, our building materials. Remember, Jesus himself said, store up treasure in heaven, not treasure on earth. We build with gold and silver, not straw and wood. And then God wants to us to tell of his judgment and salvation. We have a message to tell. The world is in danger. Your neighbours and my neighbours are in danger. 1997 was the year of the meteor. What I mean by that is there were two major films that came out of Hollywood, Deep Impact and Armageddon. And the panic was that there was going to be a meteor that would approach the earth and destroy it. There is a danger greater than that that is approaching. It won't just destroy the world, but at stake are people's immortal souls. We need to tell others. Bob Dylan had a gospel song, which I'm sure was not original to him, come out some years ago. It's called A Slow Train Coming. And that's what judgment was like and what judgment is like, a slow train coming. And then years ago, George Whitfield, when he used to preach, it said that he would preach judgment and knuckles turned white for fear of falling into the very pit of hell itself. But the good news is that God has provided a way through judgment, Jesus. The salvation he offers is so that we may be judged and found not guilty. Not because of anything we have done, but because Jesus has taken our judgment in our place. Micah 6 verse 2 says, hear, O mountains, the Lord's accusation. Listen, you everlasting foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people. He is lodging a charge against Israel. Our case will be heard and will be found not guilty. Jesus paid the penalty in full. I leave you with these wonderful words which we all know so well. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. What good news that is. There is escape from judgment, and it comes through Christ. What a gospel, what a message. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, there are people in the world today who have lots of power, who have lots of influence and think that they can do what they like. But they will be called to account one day to give reason for the way that they have behaved. May they know the mercy of God. May they know the beauty of God's forgiveness, and therefore change their ways and their being. And for ourselves, Lord, too, we know that we may not be powerful, we may not have influence, but still we do things wrong and we need to get right with you. And Lord, if we've in this past week done things which have not pleased you, then Lord, forgive us and restore us to a right relationship with you. Lord, judgment is coming, but there is gracious forgiveness in Jesus, and we thank you for that. And we pray your blessing upon this world, upon this community, and upon ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.